Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1, therefore seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. My text this morning comes from verse number 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. I want to preach a little while this morning on I have a treasure, and I pray that God will use it in our hearts and lives. You may be seated. Please pray with us and pray for us as we pray. Father in heaven, thank you this morning for our precious people that have come this way today. And I pray, Lord, that Christ would manifest his blessings, his presence to us today. Lord, that individual that does not yet know you, Lord, I just this morning have been able to recollect and remember when I didn't know you, when I didn't have this treasure in this earthen vessel. And Lord, it's different now since Jesus saved my soul. And Father, I pray this morning that you'll clothe us in our calling. God, that you'll visit some way or another, just visit with our people that could not be here today. So many of them are so sick and so much pain. I pray, Lord, that you would help them. And Lord, I pray today that you'd help us that are here to give you our undivided attention for the next little while, that we might, Lord, receive the engrafted word of God that's able to save our souls. In Jesus' name, all of God's people said, amen. Thank you this morning. I want to think about this treasure this morning. What is it in the world that means more to you than anything else in this world? The Bible is talking here about a treasure, and it's talking about an earthen vessel. And I may say this again later in the message, but can you believe that the likes of him would come down here and live in the likes of us? Can you believe that? I can believe it because it's true. I know that one day I was empty, and I came to Jesus. I didn't leave empty. I left full. I know one day I was guilty. Oh, I was guilty beyond degree. The Bible said if a man offends in one point of the law, he's guilty of all. And I was guilty, and I went home justified. I know that one day I didn't have any peace whatsoever in my heart. And I left the church on a Sunday night in 1987 with a heart full of peace. Never again, Brother Thurman, laying down at night, worrying about if I don't wake up. Honey, I'm going to wake up. I may lay down tonight and not wake up in this world, but I tell you, I'm going to wake up. I'm going to wake up in a better world, amen, with my Lord and my Savior. I thought about, as Brother Ralph was singing, I'll fly away and I'll ride on a cloud with the Lord. I whispered over to Brother Steve, I said, yeah, there won't be any waiting line on the tarmac, amen. There won't be anybody waiting in the airport in line, amen. We'll just get on the big load and go together. You say, will it be an airplane ride? No, it'll be a plain air ride, amen. We'll just go and be with Jesus, amen. What a blessing that'll be. I want to give you three things in the message today. Number one, the reason for this treasure. Number two, the renouncing of this treasure. And then number three, I believe I'm not looking at it right now, but it's the results of this treasure. We want to look at what happens when this treasure comes into a person's heart and a person's life. You say, preacher, what's this treasure all about? Well, if I had to wrap it up in one word, it would be this: Jesus. The songwriter said, I found a treasure
when I found Jesus. He gives me pleasure that the world cannot give. And though I'm a beggar, I'm rich beyond measure. I found a treasure when I found the Lord. Somebody said, well, you didn't find the Lord. He found you. Well, the Bible said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. It's true that he did seek after us before we sought after him. But it's also true, listen to me carefully this morning, that he seeks after many and gets nothing back from them. They don't seek after him. I'll tell you something, beloved, listen. The Bible said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. You say, preacher, when can he be found? He can be found when he's dealing with your heart. He can be found when he's speaking to your heart. And I thank God for this treasure that we have in Jesus. The reason for this treasure, let me give you a couple of things this morning under this. The reason, number one, the value of a soul. The Word of God said over in the book of Genesis, and the Lord God formed of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. One preacher said it like this. I never have forgotten it. He said, there was a time when you were not, but there will never be a time when you will cease to be. You see, beloved, we believe that in that mother's womb, are you listening to me? God formed that little baby. And then that little baby, beloved, listen, that little soul that God formed, beloved, listen, is going to live on somewhere forever. Are you listening to me? And that's why we have church. We have church because we love Jesus. We found a treasure when we found the Lord. We have church because others need Jesus. We have church because the Bible said, send the light, send the gospel light, send it to the ends of the world. So the value of a soul. Listen to what Jesus said in Mark chapter number 8. This is the reason for this treasure. And when we had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Brother Thurman, you forgive me this morning, but when I was meditating, I thought about you because you're in the coal mining industry. That's right, isn't it, brother? You travel and work in the mines and work with the foremen and keep things going. But listen, what the Bible is teaching us here is that if you had every dollar that had ever been mined in the coal industry, beloved, listen, it wouldn't be worth trading that for your soul. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? If you had every dollar that's ever come out of the Eastman Chemical Corporation, and you know there's a lot of dollars, if you had every dollar, beloved, listen, that had ever passed through the hands of a merchant in the United States of America, what good would that do you when you get ready to breathe your last breath and leave this world and go out into eternity? It wouldn't help you one bit. There was a man, his name was C.C. Shelburne. He was a professor at Radford University up in Virginia. I had the privilege to go to Radford University. He said, what'd you go up there for? I went deer hunting. On the arsenal. Amen. Y'all can tell that from the way I preach. Amen. I ain't been to many universities. But I'll tell you this. This man, he had means. He lived in an old farmhouse. He was funny. He really had a sense of humor. My dad and I started working for him, and we didn't know a whole lot about what we were doing, but we were painting, and we were wallpapering, we were patching in this old house and working. We had just started out in the business together, and I was helping Dad, and we were painting the windows and the woodwork and all that, and we got done, and CeCe said, he said, boys, I've messed up. And he said, Daddy said, how'd you do that, CeCe? He said, well, he said, now if I'd have been smart, he said, I'd have put your boy in this room, and I'd have put you in this room, and I'd have let him paint this room, and I'd have let you paint this room. He's telling that to my dad. He said, then I'd have seen which one got done first and which one done the best job. And he said, he'd have been my painter from now on. That's what that's the way his wheels was turning. Well, one day, this lady that lived with him, her name was Ruth. And Ruth was witnessing to him. CeCe didn't know the Lord. He was one of them that had a high education. but he didn't know the Lord. I'm not against education, but if it keeps you from Jesus, there'll be a day when you wish you didn't have it. I can guarantee you that. Amen. And one day, Ruth said, "See, you can't take that money with you." He said, "Oh, yes, I can." She said, "How are you going to do that?" He said, "I'm just going to have them pack it in me around me in that casket, you know, just pack it in there around me." And she looked at him and said, "Well," she said, "you know what?" She said, "I think that'd be a good idea." But she said, "Just before they close the lid on you the last time," she said, "I'm going to take the cash and write you a check. It'll do you just as much good where you're going." That's what she told him. Amen. In other words, he had a carnal mind. And he really thought, you know what I mean, that money was where it was at. Thank God I can report to you about 3 months before he left this world, he said yes to the Lamb of God and trusted Jesus as his Savior. So there's hope, Miss Barbara, even for that sister, honey. Maybe in the last days there's hope, amen. God's on the throne and he'll save that soul that'll turn to him in this hour. The Bible said, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." So this morning, the reason for this treasure is God looked down and he saw something in you and I more valuable than anything in this world. And that was your soul and my soul. I believe with all of my heart that if you're a good Christian, you're interested in the souls of men. If you're a good Christian, beloved, you're interested in what God's interested in. How can we be a good daddy and not be interested in the salvation of our children? How can we be a good papa and not be interested in the salvation of our grandchildren? How can we be a good neighbor and not be interested in the salvation of our community and those that live around us? Amen. I believe, listen, the reason for this treasure is the value of a soul. There's another reason that I have this treasure this morning. Boy, I've never thought about this before. I feel kind of small and foolish, but I never tied the two together before. Look back at chapter number three. You see, the first word in chapter number four is the word therefore. Do you see it right there? And so this time around, as I studied the Word of God, and I was looking at this treasure, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, I began to think about something. And I went back and looked why the word therefore. Somebody said if the word, you see the word therefore, then you need to look and see what it's there for. Amen. There's a reason that it's there. Look at it with me. Let's start reading in verse number 14 of chapter number 3. The word of God said, "But their minds were blinded." Now listen, this is talking about Israel. This is talking about Moses and the law. And it's talking about how much better the gospel is than the law of Moses. It's talking about Moses having a veil over his face when he came down off of the mountain. His face did shine, the word of God said. They couldn't even stand to look at the face. And what Paul is saying is, if the law was that good, how much better is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? What's this now? The Bible said, "But their minds were blinded." You say, "Preacher, why do you have this treasure?" Let me read a little bit and then I'll tell you. "For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart." Well, I'm going to try to read the rest of it in a minute, but I've got to stop and preach just a minute. I'm going to tell you why I have a treasure this morning. Because there came a day in my life when the veil was lifted off of my heart. And I was able to see myself like I am, and see my Savior like he is, and admit that I was nothing but a sinner in bad need of a Savior. I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me carefully right here. If you have lost loved ones, let me tell you how we need to start praying. God, take the veil off of their heart. And God, let them see where they're headed. Let them see their sinful condition. Let them see the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because until that veil is lifted, until that blindness is taken away, they'll never see their need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, beloved friend, there'll be people today that'll walk down an aisle and they'll just shake hands with the preacher and sign a card. Amen. And because somebody's convinced them that that's what they need to do. And I'm going to tell you something right now. If you need to be saved, shaking the preacher's hand ain't going to help you a bit. I'm telling you, if you need to be saved, dipping in a hole of water ain't going to help you a bit. You're going to have that veil removed. You're going to have to see. I was talking to Sister Ruth yesterday, and she was telling me about her husband. I was so excited. I'm still thrilled about it. He was a Jew, and yet God spoke to his heart. And when he was 50 years old, he became a child of God. And no more was his interest just in money and the things of this world, but he wanted to serve others and do what he could to help somebody else. You say, preacher, what happened? I tell you what happened. He found a treasure when he found Jesus. I tell you why he found that treasure. The veil was taken off of his heart, and he was able to see it's not in Moses. It's in Christ, Jesus the Lord. Oh, beloved friend, it's not in the Baptist. It's in Christ. It's not in the church. It's in Christ. It's not in religion, it's in a relationship with Christ. We must be born again if we're going to make heaven our home. Beloved, the veil was removed. Look what the Bible said here. The Bible said, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. There's coming a day, the Bible said, when so all Israel shall be saved. You know what's going to happen in the middle of the tribulation? I don't have time to preach on all this right here, but the veil's going to be taken away. They're going to see the Antichrist for who he is. They're going to see themselves for who they are. And they're finally, praise God, going to see Jesus for who he is. And they're going to turn to him. Every time somebody gets saved in this generation, Jew or Gentile alike, it's because the veil was taken away. Bob, I don't mean to embarrass you. I don't think it would. But the reason you knocked on that door back here, them tears running down your face, the veil was taken away. God let Bob see Bob for who Bob was. And God let Bob see Jesus for who Jesus was. And Bob realized Bob was in trouble. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. It's a blessed thing when God takes the veil away. And for the first time in our life, we can admit we're nothing without him. We can see that we're going to hell. We can see that we're in trouble, and we can see that we need forgiveness, and we can see that the only way to have a home in glory land that outshines the sun is through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The reason for this treasure, the veil was removed. Then why do you have this treasure, preacher? The reason for this treasure, not only it was because God saw the value of a soul, because there was a veil in my life that was removed, but there was a victory that was received. Let me tell you this, beloved. The Bible said here, therefore seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy. Listen to me. Justice called that night. The law of God pronounced me guilty. He said, preacher, how many of them laws was you guilty of? All of them. And so were you. You may not have realized it exactly what was going on. But beloved, that's what Holy Ghost conviction is. It's not I told my mama a lie, or I stole this, or I stole that, or I did this, or I did that. But you realize there's something heavy comes over you. How many knows what I'm talking about? And beloved, it's called Holy Ghost conviction. Let me just say this. Not enough people saying it today. Nobody's ever been saved without it. There's no salvation apart from conviction. I'll go back and think about my grandson that's sitting over there right now and how he trembled that night. You remember that, Jordan? Trembling, absolutely trembling. He said, preacher, why would a young boy like that tremble? I tell you why. Because he had one foot over hell and the other one headed that way. And he realized he was in trouble and he needed a Savior. Amen. Beloved, listen, if you could take a lid off of hell and look down in there for 10 seconds, you'd tremble too this morning. If you're not saved, you'd tremble at the thought of dropping off into hell. Beloved, I have a treasure this morning. The reason for this treasure, the value of a soul, the veil was removed, victory was received. I received mercy. You say, preacher, how do you get mercy? You get mercy with Jesus. You don't get mercy anywhere else. When you receive Jesus, you receive mercy. Not only do you receive mercy, but you receive grace. You see, mercy is God withholding from us the penalty of our sin, what we do deserve. That's what mercy is. God says, no, I'm going to take that away. I'm going to withhold that from you. But grace is God turning around, not only taking away from us what we do deserve, but turning around and giving back to us what we do not deserve. He gives us love. He gives us joy. He gives us peace. He makes a long-suffering, a gentle person out of us. Amen. And He gives us meekness and goodness and temperance and faith. And the Word of God said, against such there is no law. Beloved, listen, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. That's what the Bible said. And I believe with all of my heart this morning, I found a treasure when I found Jesus. The reason for this treasure. Number two, the renouncing of this treasure. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, if you look here in verse number two, the Word of God said, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Brother Brian, this is honest truth. I have no reason to lie about it. But I usually sit and listen to Brother Brian teach, and I was able to this morning. I thank God for that. And normally I'm sitting there, and normally the Spirit of God's been over at his house working in his heart. He's been down at my house working in my heart. And normally we cross. You understand? Our thoughts, the ideas cross up some way. God's got some. And I sat over there this morning thinking about what I was preaching, and I didn't see that, Brother Brian. I didn't see anything. Look at what I just read, Brother Brian. It crosses up beautifully. Paul said here, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully. That's exactly, Brother Brian, what that bunch you was telling us about in Sunday school was doing, amen? That's exactly what's going on in many pulpits across America. Beloved, listen, they get up and say, oh, you sow this seed, and you're going to get gold back, amen? You're going to get lots of gold. I'm telling you, beloved, you're going to be healthy. I'm just telling you, beloved, listen, that health and wealth gospel's not out of the Bible. It's out of hell. And beloved, listen, they want to buy them another airplane and build them another runway. Are you listening to me? And live in castles down here on the earth. I'm afraid some of that outfit's going to die without God because they're handling the Word of God deceitfully. But when you have that treasure, there's some things you're going to renounce. You're going to say, no, sir, I ain't going that way. Amen. I was worried this morning, Sunday school. Brother Brian was fixing to take a vote about turning the air conditioner off. Amen. He had me going there this morning. Amen. I didn't want to see that vote, not today. Let's wait till the weather cools off a little bit before we vote on that. Amen. Then we'll vote on turning the heat on. All I'm telling you is, beloved, listen. I believe there ought to be some churches in the land that renounces modernism. I believe there ought to be some churches in the land that renounces ear tickling. You know what I mean? A church, listen, a church, God's people, they have something in mind when they're looking for a pastor, amen? They know whether they're going to be offended by preaching the truth or whether that's what they want is the truth. And they go out and they search for a pastor. They search for a man of God. And beloved, listen, I believe this church wants to hear the truth of the Word of God. They don't want somebody standing in this pulpit handling the Word of God deceitfully, trying to make it think, say what they want it to say. Amen. I believe with all of my heart. Beloved, this church understands that we're going to answer to the highest court in the land. It's not the Supreme Court. It's the Savior of the world, the Judge, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, beloved, listen. He said we're going to renounce the things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. You know, that's how the old slewfoot started out in the Garden of Eden. Just trickery and craftiness. Yea, hath God said. Let me tell you something, beloved, about our modern day education, our colleges. It's starting in our high schools. It's going on in elementary school today. Beloved, let me tell you something. They're being taught to deny this book. You say, preacher, now wait a minute. They might teach them to question this book, to doubt this book. Oh, that's not the last step. You mark her down, honey. That listen, that wasn't the last step when old Slewfoot came to Eve and said, "Hast God said?" That means he wanted them to. But then he said, "Yea, God hath not said." He wanted her to deny the word of God. And listen, the devil still wants his children, I'm talking about, to deny the word of God. God wants his children to stand up and declare the word of God. Amen. Beloved friend, the reason for this treasure, the renouncing of this treasure, let me get on with this and finish up here. I want to look at the results of this treasure. I found a treasure when I found Jesus. Have you ever, beloved, realized what a treasure that you have? What would you trade for it? What would you trade for it? Is there anything you'd rather have than Jesus? Sister Theresa, are you the one that sang, "I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold? I'd rather have him than riches untold." Oh, beloved friend, listen, if you really have the veil removed, you can sing that song and mean it. You realize there's nothing in this world worth trading for your soul. Let me look at the results quickly. You say, preacher, what do you see as a result of this treasure? Well, just a couple of things here, and I'll be done. In verse number 5, the Bible said, "We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." The result number 1, if you have this treasure, you want to be a servant. Let me just say something. There are people in this room right now that are running for office. And I'm going to tell you something. The purest motive for running for office, and we need Christians in office in our land, but the purest motive is to be a servant of the people. I believe the purest motive for standing in a pulpit like this is to be a servant of the Most High God and to be a servant of His people. Brother Ralph, I believe the purest motive to be a deacon is to be a servant to the church and be a servant to the Lord. Everybody's with me this morning. Brother Brian, I believe the purest motive to be a Sunday school teacher is just to be a servant of the Most High God and be a servant of His precious people that He's left down here on the earth. But I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen, one of the results of having this treasure is a servant's heart. Beloved, listen. Listen to me carefully. I'm going to say this and I mean it. I would wonder if I had the right thing if I was not interested in serving the Lord, if I was not interested in serving God's people. Let me go further than that. If I wasn't interested in serving the vilest sinner, amen, that lives on this planet. You say, preacher, how could you do that? Let me tell you something right now, beloved. Listen, they need the gospel. If our gospel be hid, the word of God said it's hid to them that are lost. Beloved, listen, we see the servant's heart. That brings me to the second thing. We see the Savior's heart. What happened here? Look, as a result of this treasure, look at verse 6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Beloved, how many is glad the light shined in your dark place? Say amen. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. He was the one that stood out there and said, let there be light. And there was light. Oh, thank God in my heart, the veil was taken away. And that dark place became a place that was enlightened by the word of God and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Let me just say something this morning. You better watch that man. You better watch that woman. It's always bragging on themselves. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me. If you have this treasure in your bosom, if this treasure, the Lord Jesus, lives in you, then you realize without Him you can do nothing. Without Him, you are nothing. You're with the Apostle Paul when he said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And you understand, beloved, if there's anything good about us, He is responsible for it. If there's anything bad about us, and there is, we are responsible for that. Amen. Thank God for this treasure. We see the Savior's heart. Then we see the suffering heart. I could preach a long time here, but I'm just going to touch on it and close. The Bible said in verse number 8, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Trying to remember, I believe it was Brother Larry we were talking with yesterday, my wife and I, with Brother Winkle. And he was talking about how that many, when they go through pain and they go through trials and they go through suffering, they become bitter. They become angry. Let me just say something to you this morning. Listen to me carefully. I'm not throwing any stones. I don't have anybody in mind right now. And that's the God's honest truth. But let me tell you something right now. If I couldn't go through a trial without getting mad at God, I'd wonder if I had a treasure or if I had a counterfeit. I'm going to tell you what my trials have always done. Listen to me. What my pain has always done is helped me to take another look at Calvary. And when I see Calvary, by faith, I look at the suffering that our Lord went through. Then I realize, beloved, my pain pales in comparison to what he went through for me and for you. I believe with all of my heart, Paul said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. He said, Paul, what difference does it make? I'll tell you, just let it become midnight. And your back's bleeding, and you've been thrown into the prison for preaching the Word of God. And you'll see what this treasure will do. Brother Gary, this treasure will sing. Amen. This treasure will pray. This treasure will praise God in the darkest hour. Amen. Because, yes, my situation changed. But thank God Almighty, my Savior did not change. Amen. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. We see the suffering heart. He said we're persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus, also of Jesus, might be made manifest in our body. You know, there's some people, they want the life of Jesus to be manifested. They're real interested in that, but they don't want the dying of Jesus to be manifested. Beloved, listen, we don't get to pick and choose. Amen. We're in a sin-cursed world. And Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his crown. Is that what he said? Take up his cross and follow me. Amen. I believe this morning we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Paul said, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Can I say to you this morning, you can't see this treasure. I know it's there. I hope you can see evidence of that treasure, but I know it's there. Let me rephrase that. I know he's there. I know he lives within me. I found a treasure when I found Jesus. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Beloved, listen this morning. Do you have this treasure? You're not going to make it to heaven without him. I don't even really know how I made it 27 years in this world without him. But I thank God for the day. The key the Lord keyed in on in this message with me, the veil was taken off of my heart. The songwriter said, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind. Amen. I once was blind, but now I see. Let me just say to you this morning, I thank God for the day that Jesus came my way. When he came to me, I could not come to where he was. He came to me. Then I could seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. You know what I love about the Lord? Lots of things, but one of the things I want to magnify right now is this. You don't need anybody to tell you when he comes near. Oh, I tell you, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Beloved friend, this morning, do you have this treasure? Can you say beyond a shadow of a doubt, I found a treasure when I found the Lord? This is God's truth. The Lord had to remind me of it. I thought about it when I was preparing, but lots of times if I don't put things in my notes, I forget about it, but the Lord brought it back. I'm being honest and serious right now. When I found Miss Eve, I found a treasure. The world couldn't have given me Miss Eve. Even in my lost condition, God gave me a precious wife. I found a treasure. You know, I hope you look at your spouse that way. If you don't, you're missing something. Jesus, Brother Steve, intended for us and our spouse to be a picture of him and his church. And if we really have a treasure in Christ, how could we not have a treasure in that spouse that God has given us? How could we not see a treasure in those children that God has given us? How could we not see a treasure in just being a part of the body of Christ where God has brought us together?